If you have your Bibles and you'd like to turn to Ecclesiastes today, the book of Ecclesiastes, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes in chapter number 2. There was just a tiny disconnect. We are still working all of the things out. I may have said the wrong verse, like in your bulletin, or Brenda heard the wrong verse, but nonetheless, we want to turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 2, and we're going to read together two verses, verse 24 and verse 25. Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verse 24. Listen to this. There is nothing better for a man than that he should eat and drink, and that he should make his soul enjoy good in his labor. This also I saw, that it was from the hand of God. For who can eat, or who else can hasten hereunto more than I? I'd like to speak today, and I want for my sermon title to be in the form of a question, and I'd really like it to be in the form of a question that you would attempt to personally answer. What do you want from life? What do you want from this life? Would you agree with me that if we slowed down and really stopped and evaluated our own lives, that a large portion of our life is seeking satisfaction, that a large percentage of our time is devoted to finding fulfillment, contentment, or, in one word, peace, just peace. By the early 1900s, F.W. Woolworth, founder of the Woolworth's chain of stores, had amassed one of the largest fortunes in the world. A portion of his fortune, over $50 million, was given to his granddaughter, Barbara Hutton, on her 21st birthday. And although she became one of the wealthiest women in the world, Barbara Hutton was never able to find lasting happiness. She married 7 different times. She married a prince. She married a count. She actually even married the famous actor Cary Grant at one time, yet never found true fulfillment. In her life, she acquired rare and expensive paintings, fine jewelry, and costly trinkets. She owned a 59-room yacht. Yet none of these things satisfied. Instead, she spent most of her life battling alcohol addiction, drug dependency, and anorexia. When the reclusive Hutton died at age 66, she weighed less than 100 pounds and only $3,000 of her inherited fortune remained. Friends, this is not an isolated event. This is unfortunately the norm for humanity. It is the norm for you and for me, and for most everyone around us, especially in affluent America. No, I doubt any of us here have inherited $50 million. And we may not own yachts or be able to afford rare paintings and priceless jewelry, yet we are all prone to seek satisfaction from the things of this world. But it just won't work. It just won't work. And in this passage, Solomon details the emptiness of searching for lasting satisfaction in temporary delights. Folks, we should learn there is nothing better. That's what verse 24 details. There is nothing better than enjoying the things that God has given us, realizing that life itself is a gift from God. You will never truly find peace until you know the peace of God and find your ultimate contentment in Him. No, there's nothing wrong with enjoying this life and rightly enjoying the things of this life. That's what verse 24 says to us. There's nothing better for a man than eat and drink and in his soul enjoy the good of his labor. But notice the close of verse 24. Knowing that it is from the hand of God. Knowing that it is from the hand of God. Folks, if you want peace, what do you want from life? Peace, joy, rest, contentment? Then enjoy the simple things like family and food and shelter with a keen awareness that it is all a gift of God. It is a gift from God. But can we admit that this is a hard lesson to learn? That you can't really find satisfaction in the things of this world? This was a hard lesson even for someone as wise as Solomon. And in the chapter we have before us, we join in Solomon's journey as he sought to discover what he wanted from life and what actually brings lasting joy and peaceful contentment. And just like us, Solomon's search for satisfaction initially began in carnal things. I hope you follow what I'm about to say. Fortunate for our edification, however unfortunate for him, Solomon was in the position to surrender himself to every sensory delight. But did it satisfy? Oh, let's study this together. Now, we're not going to take time to break down every verse of this second chapter, but we are going to hurriedly move through it as we build up to our text verse in verse 24. The first thing that we will notice from Solomon's journey to finding satisfaction is his indulgence. And in verses 1 through 10, there is the indulgence of Solomon. He sought to discover what will bring satisfaction. And to answer that, he gave himself over to excessive earthly enjoyments. His vain search was rooted in pleasure and possession. If you are someone who likes to mark in your Bible, I would encourage you to look in chapter 2, verse number 1, where Solomon says, I said in my heart, go to now, I will prove thee with myrrh, therefore enjoy. Notice this word, pleasure. Pleasure. And then in verse 7, he is in this long list of things he acquires, and he says, also I had great possessions. Solomon's journey to seek satisfaction began with an indulgence of pleasure and possessions. And can you see, friends, how very close that is to our own lives and our own way? Pleasure and possessions. Solomon tried to satisfy his soul by indulging in every vice known to man. Now, for any who may not know, let's give a brief history of who Solomon was. You will remember Solomon is the son of David. He becomes king of Israel. Upon his inauguration, God asked Solomon, Solomon, what do you want? Solomon replied, You might think, and the temptation would be, I want wealth and fame and fortune. You know, sometimes we want to treat God like a genie in a bottle. grant me my wishes. But on the very day of his inauguration, God asked Solomon, what do you want? And Solomon's response is, I want wisdom and an understanding heart that I may rule your people well. And God rewards Solomon by saying, because you didn't ask for longevity of life or a long life, because you didn't ask for fame, fortune, I'm going to give you those things, but I'm also going to give you an understanding heart and wisdom. And what we learn from the life of Solomon is that he becomes the most prosperous king financially that Israel ever had. Their lands expanded, their wealth expanded. They ended up gaining and garnering so much gold and silver that Solomon literally, they just quit counting it because they couldn't tally how much they had acquired. And so Solomon now tells us, I want to find out what will bring me joy in life. What do I want from life? And one of the things that we know about Solomon, as uncomfortable as it is that he tried to delight himself in women. One thing that we can attest to the Scriptures is that it is honest. And in sin and in error, Solomon got together 300 concubines and 700 wives. But not just women, but wine. In fact, you will see that in verse number 3. I sought in my heart to give myself unto wine. He had the finest fruit of the vines that were ever produced in the land of Canaan. Women and wine. And then I'm just going to run through this list in verses 4 through 9. He gives a list of other things that he attempted to do. Pleasures and possessions to bring satisfaction. He built houses. He planted vineyards. He made gardens and ancient parks. He planted all kinds of trees, fruit trees. He built ponds of water to irrigate his forest. He obtained servants. He even had generations of servants born in his house. He had flocks and herds, silver and gold, music and singers, dance. He obtained more and more knowledge and even dove into philosophy. He became richer and more affluent than anyone before him. Kings and queens literally bowed before Solomon. Yet I would have you know what he says in verse number 10. Listen to this. This is his indulgence. Whatsoever mine eyes desired, I kept not from them. I withheld not my heart from any joy. Do you see this? He was a man of affluence and power, the king of a nation with wealth beyond anything that we could possibly imagine. He was in the position to surrender himself to every sensory delight. This power, this wealth, this influence afforded him the ability to, if he could think it up, he would try it. Every vice, every pleasure, great possessions. Yet the truth is, to lesser degrees, we attempt to do the very same thing that Solomon did. We seek to find pleasure from the things of this earth, lasting satisfaction. Maybe we seek satisfaction and accreditation in our job title, or in owning fine things, or obtaining wealth or status or food or drink or drugs or sex. All of these things have a right place, but when we seek to find lasting joy in them, it doesn't work. You can indulge, maybe not to the depths of depravity that Solomon did, but even if you indulge, you will not walk away satisfied. It will leave you yearning. No, we don't have the ability to run to the same level of excess like Solomon, or even like a Barbara Hutton, who I mentioned at the beginning of this in my illustration. Yet it amounts to the same thing. It is a vain effort by humans to satisfy the soul through pleasure and possession. Now, is there anything wrong with having nice things and striving hard to improve? Of course not. Of course not. If, however, we are depending on these things, these temporary things, to bring lasting joy, it will not succeed. It will not succeed. It won't work. Solomon tells us this very thing. And in fact, after his indulgence, the king tells us what he learned. So from indulgence to ineffectiveness in verse number 11. This is building. This whole thing is like a crescendo, and it is building up to our text verse. In verse number 11, he says, "Then I looked on all the works that my hands had wrought, and on the labor that I had labored to do, and behold, all of it, everything was vanity and vexation of spirit, and there was no profit under the sun." In other words, this is what Solomon learned. It didn't satisfy me. All of those pleasures, all of those possessions were ineffective in bringing lasting joy and satisfaction. In fact, he says it was vanity. That word vanity simply means emptiness. It means transitory. Now, the word, I am told, it is Hebrew root, that it has to do with a vapor. Much like James talks about in his New Testament writing, that life is just a vapor that ascendeth up for a short season and then vanishes away. That is what Solomon is saying. All of those things were like just a vapor, like an early morning breath on a cold, cold day, where you may see it, but then it just vanishes away. Those things that he sought, that he indulged in to bring him joy, were ineffective. They were ineffective. In fact, he goes on to say, not only is it vanity, but it is vexation of spirit. I'd like to help you with that. That word vexation means to grasp or to reach for. Really, it could be understood to be to try to lay hold on. And then that word spirit is a broad Hebrew word. It is translated many different ways in our Bibles. The Holy Spirit, or the spirit of man, or breath. Or I think, as is fitting in this passage, it is also translated as wind. Can I help you understand what Solomon is saying? It is ineffective to try and find indulgences, to find satisfaction in those indulgences. It is like chasing the wind. It is like grasping for the wind. We've had a lot of wind and rain, but a lot of wind lately. What would it profit you to chase the wind? Even if you went outside and the wind was blowing 50 miles an hour and you had a jar and a lid and you swung that jar through the air and you tightened the lid down on it real good and you went back inside the house and you opened it up, what would you have? Nothing. And that is exactly what Solomon is saying, is that to try to find lasting joy in these indulgences is just chasing the wind. It's vanity. It's empty. It is a waste. It is ineffective in bringing true satisfaction. The human nature just simply says, I enjoyed that, but I want more. I found some pleasure in that. I want to do it again. You buy land, you want more land. You have heard, I'm sure, about the man who was the land baron, land owner. Someone asked him, as his empire continued to grow, they said, how much will you have to obtain to satisfy you? The man gave the simple response, I only want that land which borders mine. That's all. But that's human nature. More, more, more. Solomon said in Ecclesiastes 5, verse 10, he that loveth silver shall not be satisfied with silver, nor he that loveth abundance with increase. This is also vanity. If we seek fulfillment in temporal things, Folks, we will never be contented. We're always going to be disgruntled. If we seek lasting contentment in temporal things, it's never going to work. I remember years ago, I caught a 32-pound flathead catfish. Oh, man, was that fun. You know what I wanted to do? I wanted to catch a bigger one. Isn't that how it is? I have a fisherman here. That's what you want, right? Because it's fun and you enjoy it, and that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. But if you think that's going to last and you're going to find contentment, it won't. We begin early in our lives, we can ride a tricycle, but then that's not enough. We need a bicycle. And then some are crazy enough, if that's not enough, they want a motorcycle. But do you understand the point being, if we seek pleasure in these things, it's not going to last. It's not going to last. It's always the next thing. Again, there's nothing wrong with pushing ourselves to grow and enjoy God's creation and what He gives, even trying to be the best version of ourselves. But if we think we're going to find ultimate contentment in temporal delights, we're just fooling ourselves. We're just fooling ourselves. We eat. We get hungry again. Isn't that how it is? We want more again. We should not seek to find our contentment even in others. I say this with gentleness. All of Solomon's women never truly brought him satisfaction. Because the sad reality is, sometimes death comes in and robs us of that love. Of that, maybe not of the love, but of that person and their presence in our lives. I'm sure the love remains. I don't mean that at all. But that person that you are so close to, death comes in and robs you of that. And if that is what you were tied up in, if that is what all of your hope was in, you're never going to be satisfied. You're never going to find contentment. Listen to Solomon's findings. Solomon says, I looked upon all that I'd done. Everything I had, everything I had built, all of my possessions. I thought about all of my pleasures. And in the end, it was ineffective in bringing satisfaction. But you know, that was not only true for him, it's true for us. It is true for us. Yet Solomon is not done, because he continues to muse even about some deeper things. And in verses 12 through 23, I'm going to hurriedly move through them. Not only do we have indulgence and ineffectiveness, in verses 12 through 23 we find insignificance. Insignificance. And I'm going to move quickly here. I just want to give you the summation of what Solomon writes in these verses. In verses 12 through 23, Solomon even begins to muse about death itself. He begins to think about death itself. And here's where Solomon gets to. He's trying to find out, what do I want from life? What's going to bring me joy? And the certainty of death begins to center in on his mind. And Solomon comes to this realization. I'm going to die. I am going to die. Yes, if you read this, yes, it is better to die the death of a wise man rather than a fool. Yet Solomon says, whether I am wise or whether I am foolish, I am going to die. All men will meet with death. And as Solomon begins to think on this, he says, and when I die, everything I have acquired is going to belong to somebody else. For we brought nothing into this world, and it's certain that we can carry nothing out of this world. And this hits him as he's meditating and thinking on the big questions of life. And I want you to notice what he says in verse 18 and 19 in this same chapter. He says, yea, I hated all my labor which I had taken under the sun. And then he says, because I should leave it unto the man that shall be after me. And who knoweth whether he shall be a wise man or a fool? Yet shall he have rule over all my labor wherein I have labored. Solomon begins to realize, I'm going to die. I may amass a great fortune, I may build houses and forests and pools of water. I may have servants and possessions. But one of these days, I'm going to die and leave it all behind. And when I do, someone else is going to get it. And who knows whether they'll be wise or foolish. In other words, they may just waste it all. They may waste my life's work. Just like F.W. Woolworth's fortune was squandered by self-serving, pleasure-seeking granddaughter, Solomon says, everything I have built, all that I have acquired, is one day going to belong to somebody else, and who knows what they'll do with it. And so if you try to find lasting joy and fulfillment in these things, you need to think about that. That all that I amass, I'm going to leave here, and it may just well be the person that gets it all will just squander it away. What then was the good of it? Did it bring me a little bit of joy, a little bit of that, some temporal stuff? Yeah, but in the long term, through a spiritual eyes, what was the benefit of it? And in fact, Solomon says this. He says, not only in these verses am I going to die, not only will I leave everything behind, but soon my name will be forgotten. And as I thought about that, as I was reading and studying this, I thought, well, now wait a minute. Here it is 3,000 years later and we're still talking about Solomon. But you know what we do a lot? We think the whole world has our own experiences. We think everybody lives life like we do. Do you realize that the majority of the people on this planet have no idea who Solomon is? We look at things through our, many of us brought up in church, raised in church, heard about Solomon most of our life. But I would say the majority of the people on this planet, go ask some young random person out here, who was Solomon? And then if they don't have, you know, we have the benefit of being here in the Bible Belt, but if they don't have any kind of a biblical background, they don't know who Solomon is. You know, the truth about it is, and I don't want to be morbid, but this is what Solomon is getting to. One of these days, you're going to die. And now, are you ready for this? It won't be too long and you will be forgotten. Now, I hate to just get all up in your business like that, but that's true. You understand that's true? When's the last time you thought about Mr. Woolworth? Ask any random young person, what is Woolworth's department store? What are they going to tell you? You understand? You will die, and at some point you will be forgotten. And here's a litmus test for you. Do you know who your grandfather was? Do you know who your great-grandfather was? Do you know who your great-great-grandfather was? It is likely that most of us sitting in this building can't even go back five generations. Five generations. Solomon says, listen, this life is short. It is temporary. There's got to be more to it than pleasure and possession. I'm going to die. I'm going to leave everything behind. My name's going to be forgotten. There's got to be more to life than this. And while I know this seems somewhat dark and dreary, almost even hopeless or filled with despair, yet Solomon, and the book of Ecclesiastes has to do with the preacher, yet Solomon, the wise preacher, is intentionally painting a dark and dreary portrait. He's building to a crescendo. He's laid down some dark truths that almost make us think, you know what, life's just not even worth living. But then the king says this in verse 24. We see his insight. When it's all said, he is building up, giving these dark truths, his indulgences, the ineffectiveness of them. He lays out for this the insignificance of my own name. But now he gives us this insight. There is nothing better. When it's all said and done, dear friends, there's nothing better for a man than that he should eat and drink and that he should make his soul enjoy good in his labor. This also I saw that it was from the hand of God. Oh, you can enjoy living. Solomon is saying, I'm not saying don't enjoy living. Solomon is saying, I'm saying you can enjoy living if you will find satisfaction in the simple things that God has given you. All the indulgences, all the acquisition, all the accolades, all of those things ultimately are not going to bring joy. Listen, if you can be at peace and you've got shelter and food and warmth and a home and family, and you know that your soul is saved forever, what more could you want in this life? What more could you want? We don't need all those other things that we labor so hard to gain and have and desire more and more. In other words, let me say it like this. You don't have to acquire a kingdom to live like a king. You just have to be content with what you have. And you can have all you want if you want all you have. Ultimately, it doesn't really matter. Now, this is hard for young people to process, and I think one of the benefits of getting older and hopefully maturing some in the Lord is you get a little more balanced view of some of these things. But you realize that ultimately it doesn't matter if you live in a mansion or a single wide trailer if you've got peace in your heart. You can live in a mansion, and that's not going to guarantee that you're going to have peace. You can live in a single wide, and that's not going to guarantee you're going to be at war. But if you've got peace, those things really don't make a big difference. My father, I was talking to him the last time that I was there, lived all their lives, have owned a couple of nice homes. They now live in a double-wide trailer. There's not much to it. 20-something years old. And he said, the truth about it is, son, the older I get, the less I care. I just want to enjoy what I have. You know, really, it doesn't matter if you drive a Rolls Royce or a Toyota. If your clothes and shoes are name brand or store brand. Now, is it wrong? I get in the flesh here a little bit because I hated growing up wearing what we call Bobos. Some of y'all don't know about Bobos, but what we call Bobos. No name shoes. I hated that. But, you know, ultimately, I had shoes on my feet. I had a bed at night. I had love. I had warmth. I had family. And by God's grace, I came to the knowledge that all of that was a gift from God. Hey, what more do you want from life? You think you're going to find pleasure in all of this stuff out here, lasting pleasure? No, you're not. If you're seeking to find true joy, lasting contentment, you've got to look beyond worldly goods and seek God. There's nothing better, Solomon says, than eat, drink, and enjoy what you have, knowing it is from the hand of God. Listen, yes, 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 enjoy life. Rightly enjoy pleasures and possessions. You don't have, though, friend, you don't have to have everything. Just be content with what God has given you. And you know I'm preaching to the preacher just as much as I am to anyone else. But make sure that you understand that life itself is a gift from God. Life itself is a gift from God. Do you know that? Are you aware that life itself, not just physical life, but spiritual life, eternal life, is a gift from God? Are you aware that your very life and the good things that you have are just what Solomon says, that it is from the hand of God? For without Him, you wouldn't have any of that. Folks, if you want to be at peace, if you want to enjoy peace, then you've got to be at peace with your Creator. Solomon learned and shared his insight with us. And I think Solomon says we can only dwell in peace when we are at peace with God. We can only have lasting joy when we know the joy of the Lord. Solomon teaches us an eternally valuable lesson We can only truly rest when we are resting safe in the arms of Jesus. Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." What do you want from life? You think you're going to find lasting joy in all the temporal things? Now, don't you just want to be at rest? At peace? Last night, I sat out on our back porch. This is one of the beautiful things. We moved out there to the country. I bought me a rocking chair yesterday. I sat back there on the back porch last night, spent time with my family, sitting in my rocking chair, enjoying the cool evening. Buddy, my soul is safe in the hands of Jesus. My family is safe. What more do you want from life? I'm serious. What more do you want? That's enough. That is enough. And if you think acquiring more is going to bring it, you're wrong. You're fooling yourself. Each of us, and this is what humanity must learn, each of us are born with a God-shaped vacuum inside of our soul. And there is nothing on earth that can fill that void. Only God can do that. It is only by turning to Christ as your Savior that the weight of sin can be lifted and your debt of sin be paid. It is only by trusting in the finished work of God's Son where you can find rest for your soul. Solomon says, "I found out." Now, he found out the hard way. And it cost him dearly, if you know about the life of Solomon. But he found out none of those things can bring me joy. And in the end, Solomon says, the best thing you can do is live your life, enjoy what God has given you, and rest safe in His arms. Read the close of Ecclesiastes. Read the last two verses of Ecclesiastes 12. Fear God and keep His commandments. You want to know what life is under the sun? It is the knowledge of God and appreciation of the things that He has given us. Maybe today I'm talking to someone who keeps searching for satisfaction from temporary delights. Maybe you're like Barbara Hutton, not a millionaire, yet searching for contentment in possession and pleasure. Oh, the old wise preacher King writes, "It is an exercise in futility. Believe me," Solomon says, "I tried. It is all vanity and vexation of spirit." If you would be at peace, then learn from the wisdom of Solomon. There is nothing better than to enjoy the simple blessings of shelter, food, family, and faith, understanding that life itself is a gift from God. So I ask, what do you want from this life? What will it take to satisfy your soul? If you seek true contentment and peace, I point you to the Lamb of God which takes away the sin of the world. For in Him you can find lasting joy and real contentment. May God bless you. I thank you for your attention today as we've studied God's Word together.